Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Happy Saturday morning, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and a special guest producer today. No Jake Wallman. Parker Kelly is with us behind the board today. Parker, glad to have you with us, making your Fours Company debut.
Dare I say this is long overdue?
Yeah.
I'm very excited to be on today.
We're glad to have you.
You know what was cut a little bit short? That music. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Coming at me right away.
Don't mess up my show.
It's the Kentucky-Tennessee rivalry.
Right, yeah.
I'm gonna get told to go. I'm going to get told to go to the coal mines a lot today.
Yeah, we're not friends right now.
And I'm ready for it.
Wildcats and Vols later on today. Speaking of being cut short, shortened show today. We're only an hour because Vanderbilt and Auburn coming up at 10 o'clock. Pre-game coverage from Vandy, so we will get to that coming up in about an hour. So we've only got an hour here. We got Newt's Notes going to be moved up 15 minutes. That'll be at 9:30.
We got flexed.
Yes, we got flexed. So Newt's Notes moves up 15 minutes. We'll do our picks later on. No specific question of the day today. My headline might be a small one. We'll get to that in a second. But Nick Frazier, why don't you lead us off with your headline for this morning?
Yeah, my headline is actually the Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, brought to you by LPL Financial. Roman Mathis with Davidson Academy, kicker, punter, 2023 Mr. Football semifinalist, 2023 All-State kicker. I mean, this guy's got accolades out the wazoo here. 2023 D2 AA Middle Region Specialist of the Year. Wow, this is incredible. 53-yard field goal.
Hey!
Wow, that I cannot do. Averaging 41.5 yards per punt, has 28 touchbacks on kickoff, not too shabby. Again, a GPA that is somewhat accumulative in a roundabout way. 3.66 GPA near mine. Academic awards and government foundation of Christian faith. He's into theater, member of the Beta Club. Key club and culinary club. Big fan of culinary club.
There I'm a big fan of the theater.
Hey, how about it?
How does this dude have time?
You know
what's most impressive about this? Based on the picture that we got tweeted out by Davidson Academy Football, he's doing this in an Axios helmet.
Really?
Yeah.
So this guy means business.
He means business.
He's not messing around.
He's got a visor.
He's also a yearbook club editor. So there you got that. So off the field, Roman has volunteered at the Second Harvest Food Bank by Faith Farms and Jolton Hope Center. Very active in his church, starting a Bible study group during his freshman year. He has since become the FCA Fellowship of Christian Athletes leader and been the speaker of the FCA Fields of Faith. He's been both a coach and referee for youth sports programs. Roman's currently employed at HG Hills Grocery Store, saving money for college. So good for Roman.
Good for you, Roman. We acknowledge
that's awesome.
You.
Yeah. Roman is, he's a jack of all trades. He does everything.
Yeah.
We love
if you're
Roman.
A kicker and you got that GPA and you're doing all that off the field, more power to you, man.
We love it. We love it.
We acknowledge Roman.
We do.
We have a hand up.
I love how Frazier knew where I was going with that immediately.
Yep.
You know me so well.
We're on the same page today. I feel like
we're
on the same page.
We're always on the same page, buddy. Yeah.
Stadium Pulse low today.
Low.
Very low.
Yeah.
It's like we're playing in
we're playing at Kennesaw State.
FCS West.
They don't have a home stadium.
App State, maybe.
App State. What was that stadium called again?
Yeah.
App State.
Can't remember. Maybe we need Roy G. Biv to let us know on the text line.
Yeah,
maybe.
Connor Newt, what's your headline this morning?
I'm going to go to Dallas, Texas. Last night, this is going to be fun for me. Arkansas and TCU played an exhibition game. Obviously, Arkansas is coached by an enemy of mine, John Calipari. So it came out last night, if you look behind Arkansas's bench sitting directly behind John Calipari, there's a man dressed in all blue, but he had a special hat on. He was dressed as the Pope.
Oh.
Mark Pope. But what makes this funnier is Arkansas lost that game to TCU, 66-65. It's an exhibition. Doesn't tell you much. But the real thing starts Monday. Get excited. But I just had to take my little dig at Arkansas today. Woo pig.
We love it. College basketball back on Monday. I believe Newt's Notes might have a
maybe. We might be bringing the boom, shall I say.
Might be buying in bulk at 9:30.
Double chunk chocolate cookie.
I love how when we first started this, Frazier had no idea who
Frazier
we were talking about.
No
now he's
idea.
All in. He's all in
double
on Big AJ.
Double chunk chocolate cookie.
You know Big AJ is doing a match for AEW.
He's back to being a wrestler.
He's for All Elite Wrestling. Well, he made it known on Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Fallon absolutely loves him some Bring the Boom.
That we'll talk more about Bringing the Boom at the bottom of the hour, but that picture of those three, AJ, Big Justice, and the Rizzler sitting there, and like the Rizzler's feet are like dangling 3 feet real. Above the ground. It's like the three evolutions of a Pokemon. Like it's so funny.
It's not real.
It's so funny. Little tease for Newt's Notes coming up at 9:30. Parker, I don't know. We didn't tell you to come up with a headline. Did you come up with a headline for this
one? I have a headline.
Okay, go ahead.
He's got a headline.
It took me 2 seconds to think of this one, but I think it's pretty fitting considering where College Game Day is right now. But consider we have a 3 versus a 4 ranked team. And let me just check the watch real quick. They're kicking off at high noon. Yeah. What are the adults in the room doing?
It's the worst.
this is whiteout material. This game should be kicking off at 6:30 on ABC.
They're not actually doing a whiteout. Thank you.
I know.
They're doing
this is whiteout material, though. That's what I'm saying. The whiteout game is versus Washington in a couple weeks.
Why?
But this game against Ohio State, but it's been pretty one-sided since 2016, but this has whiteout material written all over it. So I pose this question. What are we doing? What are we doing?
No, I'm with you because we talked about in Coach Lyman's universe, as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, going into a game at Penn State with the whiteout at night, I was scared.
Terrifying.
Looking at the TV, I was scared. Ohio State would be scared going into that environment. I'm sure it's still going to be a good atmosphere today, but noon kicks. I get it, Fox. You want to be different with your big noon kickoff, but it's just
we got to make time for Chris and Kirk to get down to Jacksonville and call Georgia and Florida.
It's a shame.
World's greatest cocktail.
It's a shame.
World's biggest cocktail party? Is
biggest
that?
Cocktail.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. That game has a lot of pageantry around it, but it's not going to be great. It's going to be Georgia blowing them out by 20 points.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Well,
Penn
I'm
State...
I'm kind of on that page, too. I think Ohio State will win by double digits.
Wow.
I don't.
Yeah, Penn State always seems to lose. They win every game they're supposed to, and they lose the big ones.
Penn State's not scoring over 20 today.
I think it's going to be different today for Penn State.
Really?
I do. Obviously, Ryan Day has an issue with top three teams that he goes up against. He doesn't have a winning record for that. I mean, same thing you say for Jimmy Frank, but James Frank, whatever you want to call him. But it's one of those situations where you go and you look at Penn State like, well, this could be a game where you win. Or it could be one of those games where you're just like, it's solely based on Ohio State's offense. And if Ohio State's offense does produce, then you're like, all right, well, chalk it up, go to the next game, because that's what it might be.
Well, you also got to consider Ohio State has had some really bad offensive line issues so far through this season, and Penn State's pass rush is legit as always. So that could be a factor in today's game for sure.
Big one in the Big Ten. We do have Gus Johnson on the call. So
Fox!
College football!
Jake, you got to study up on your Pokemon evolutions.
Buddy. I know. Yeah, Ben correcting me. I said 3 evolutions of a Pokemon, but Ben makes a good point. The original one does not count as an evolution because you evolve from that to the next one. So it would only be the original is the Rizzler and then the 2 evolutions from there.
You got to learn.
Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
I'll be better from now on.
We'll be better on Sports Talk Radio.
My headline today, we're not doing a question of the day today because we're shortened, but I'll do a mini one here. And if you want to answer, text or call us, 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Halloween 2 days ago. I want to know your guys' thoughts on candy corn.
No.
So my fiance, she will literally, at 8 o'clock at night, she'll be like, I want candy corn, and go to the store, or she'll order it on DoorDash. She loves candy corn. It is, she
craves
it. Hold on,
stop a second.
Wait.
He just said something.
Wait.
Me?
No. He said something he's never said on the show before.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He did say that.
Did you
You're
say
right.
fiance?
Yeah.
He did.
I have to. I'm training myself to say it.
Yeah, there it
because
is.
Because
you got to.
I would say,
I knew I wasn't the only one.
I'm not the last one to know. I learned this last week.
Yeah.
Jake Lyman is engaged.
Yes.
Oh. I am the last one to know.
Probably.
But candy corn.
Yes, candy corn. Yes. So she like craves candy corn. And I'm like, I don't mind candy corn. But I will never go out of my way to get candy corn.
Okay, what you got to do, candy corn in itself is terrible.
Right.
The ones that are shaped like the pumpkins, those are good.
Those are, I agree they're solid, but they're a little sugary. It's
sugary.
A big ball of sugar.
Yeah. I'm out on candy corn. Like, I just want to make sure, y'all have a good dentist, right? Is it like a family dentist? goodness.
And what she'll do is she'll order a bag, eat like 2 handfuls, and then be like, I can't finish this, and throw it away. And then like 2 or 3 days later, it's like, I need to get a new one. So I don't know. I've wanted to know this, and I figured our Halloween week show would be a good time to ask this question. Like, are there other people out there who love candy corn as much as she does? Because I don't get it.
Like, this is a phenomenal sports topic we got going on.
I'm not a candy corn hater, but I'm also not.
Well, what do you eat? What's your go to? You get one candy. What are you doing?
Ooh,
there's only
probably
one
a
answer.
Twix bar.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, Twix is good.
Whoa, I'm allergic to that.
Reese's is probably number two.
That's number one. That's okay. The only answer.
Kit Kat for me.
Kit Kat's number two.
Kit Kat's
two.
Good.
Yeah. Kit Kat, dark chocolate.
What are your thoughts on Snickers?
I'm a fan of Snickers.
Really?
I put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great.
Jake can tell you, the other day at the Preds, I bought two things of Reese's. I was like, it's Halloween. Let's do this. I bought two things of Reese's, stuck them in the freezer for about 20 minutes. Phenomenal.
They're delicious.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get the ice cream version of Snickers, it's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
We're not going to come back to this because, again, we only have an hour. But if you have thoughts on candy corn, let us know on our text line, 615-737-1025. Shortened show again today, so we've got a lot to get to. We'll take a quick break. We're going to talk Titans coming up next, then Newt's Notes at 9:30. We'll wrap up with college football as we lead into Vanderbilt's coverage down in Auburn. Be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 8:30 a.m. tomorrow for coverage of the Xfinity 500. Coverage begins at 1 p.m., and coverage also available at thegamenashville.com. Forest Company off and rolling on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's Nashville tomorrow morning for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. They will break down the Titans. Jared has said they're not really going to do much breaking down of the actual matchup against the Patriots tomorrow, but they'll give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you here on Forest Company this morning. We're going to talk some Titans. Not really going to break down tomorrow's game. 1-6 Titans against the 2-6 Patriots. There's really not much that you can say. If you had to guess, I'd probably say this is going to end up being like a 17-14 game one way or the other. Titans have only scored more than 17 points once this year. But my question for you guys is, how important is it to lose this game for the Titans for the long-term future of this franchise? This is one of maybe two or three games the rest of the way where the Titans are going to be favored. I would say Jaguars at home is probably one where the Titans could get a few points. But outside of that, they're going to be underdogs in every single game. Losing this one to a team that's in competition with you for a top five pick could go a long way.
And honestly, the Patriots are a better team than the Titans right now. Like, hands down. In my opinion, if you go out there and beat the Jets, obviously the Jets are not the best, but it just showed the willingness on defense from the Patriots to go out there and win a game that you were definitely just called out to not win. And as for the Titans, everybody's hurt. This is a game where the Patriots could easily waltz into Nashville and put up 21, 24 points. It's going to be a 24-17 type game. Like, it's going to be one of those type of things where it's back and forth, not great to watch.
I think it's lower than that.
Really? 17-14? 10-7?
14-10.
6-3?
3-2?
3-2?
3-2 final.
Oh.
I think both franchises would have to disband.
A couple years ago where they played Jacksonville, it was a 3-0 final.
Oh.
Whoa. Really?
I feel like I remember that happening.
I do remember that. It was it Vikings Jags, maybe?
Oh, it was.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
No, it was a Titans.
It was a Titan. There was no 3-0 final.
I
was
swear there?
There
was. I remember watching it at my grandmother's.
Was
house.
It a primetime game?
No, it was a noon. Oh, like a
this
noon
was
gig.
A primetime game. We would all remember Titans 3-0.
And the one that was on primetime, I think it was Bears Vikings, and that was Josh Dobbs on the Vikings.
I don't know where you're seeing this, Connor.
They're yeah, I'm not. I'm not seeing it. But when I did look it up,
I believe you.
Did I dream this?
No, I remember it. I just don't remember which game.
Mandela effect. We all remember. I remember. It, we just can't find it anywhere.
Next week, the Titans don't play at noon.
We play at 3:25, don't we?
Yeah, 3:05 against the Chargers.
West Coast.
Wow. Yikes.
I've been listening to Jared this week talk about how he wants the team to lose, and I think it is better for the future of this franchise if they go 1-16 this year. Just lose every game. Because the number one pick, even if you don't like the quarterbacks out there, it gives you options. But if I sit down and watch a game, it is hard to root against the Titans. And I'm sure that's the feeling of a lot of fans out there, is that, like, yes, you know that it's better if the team loses, but watching the game, it's hard to root for your team to not win.
I can't bring myself to root against them. It's like, I'm not going to actively sit there and be, yeah, come on, Drake May.
Yeah, go Patriots.
But I see where he's coming from. Like, if they lose, I won't be actively mad at the world. I'll be like, okay, this is part of the process. But I'm still going to cheer for the team. And here's the thing. Those players don't want to lose. Joe says this all the time. No, you ask any player in the NFL, are you tanking? They will say absolutely not. Coaches too. That's a front office thing. But those players are out there to win,
right,
and play as hard as they can. Brian Callahan is out there to coach a team to win.
Yep.
So that's where that stands. This is a fan mentality.
He's coaching for his job.
Yeah.
And think about the players that are on a one-year deal.
Right.
Quandre Diggs, Tyler Boyd. They were brought in to help this team, and regardless of what's going on with the Titans now, they believe they had a shot to compete at the beginning of the season. So you think about those players that are, there's a human element to this game. All of them have families. This is their jobs. This is what they're paid to do. And I believe that if you're trying to tank, or if there's any talk of tanking, the players should either be cut, or if it's the coaches, they should be fired. Well, I can't get with the tanking idea.
It's natural. It happens naturally.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. If the Titans lose this Sunday, this is just, I know nothing. I have no inside information. I would love to see the Titans make another trade. Because
what I was about to ask.
You have nothing to play for. Literally, you have nothing to play for but a top two, top three pick.
There's only one man I feel like you can trade at this point.
And that is?
Harold Landry.
What about Arden Key?
I don't think anyone would want Arden Key.
He's got 3 sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true, but
I think you might be able to get a 6th for Arden Key.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I feel like, can you squeeze out a 3rd or a 4th for Harold Landry?
That
you should be able to.
I don't think any team is playing.
Is that worth it, though?
Yeah.
Because trading away Harold Landry immediately makes your pass rush on the edge just non-existent.
You got Arden Key.
You're gonna have to draft somebody there and hope that they become Harold Landry. Like,
right.
I would rather just keep Harold Landry.
Yeah.
But I could see, if they go to 1-7, I could see them making a move that maybe we're not expecting right now. I think, Connor, that's the right way of looking at it is, like, I'm not going to root for them to lose, but it does make you feel better when it's like, all right, well, if they lose, they're one step closer to having a top 5 pick.
And now, I am cheering for the Panthers.
Yes.
Need a win from them.
I thought Derek Carr wasn't going to start this week, and I thought maybe they had a chance, but
starting.
Probably not going to beat the Saints with Derek Carr starting. We'll see. If I had to pick, I would pick the Titans to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I'm going to say something controversial here.
Uh-oh.
I am excited to watch Will Levis play football tomorrow. And I don't know
Welcome to the team, coal miner.
I am excited to see Will Levis play football because, thinking about it, I don't know if you can take that Colts game as really a data point for him, because knowing that he just wasn't 100%, like he didn't have his arm strength. So we really only have 3 games of Will Levis this year. He's gotten a chance to reset, get back in a mental headspace where maybe he can get some of his confidence back. I want to see if we see a little flash of last year's Will Levis, a little flash of Falcons or Miami game tomorrow.
This is where I'm kind of on board with Jared. I think he was hurt, but I think this was more of a Brian Callahan, let's see what we got in Mason Rudolph
thing. It could have been.
And it could have been. We'll never know the answer to that. But I'm with you. I'm excited to see Will Levis.
And that excitement could go away on the first drive if he throws a ball right to a dropping linebacker. Like, it could go away immediately. But I'm giving it one last chance of, like, I want to see what this guy does when everyone's given up on him.
You are big blue, true and through.
It's over, Jake. Just stop trying to convince yourself, man.
I'm not trying to convince myself. I'm just saying that you need hope to watch one of these games. Like, there, last year you were able to get through that 6-11 season because you tuned in to watch Will Levis play. You were like, what's Will Levis going to do today? I'm giving that mentality to tomorrow's game.
Can we get Jake and Jared on the air together?
That happened on Monday. A little bit. Except for I didn't answer him.
Always great to hear from Jake. Always great to hear from Jake.
I don't know, man. I get where you're coming from, wanting to see some, positive expectation from Will Levis. I can't buy into it. I can't.
And I'm not expecting him to be great. I'm just saying I think I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt coming out of this 3 weeks off that maybe he's reset mentally and can get some of that confidence back. Again, this could all go away immediately, but there's 10 games left in the season. Like, we're going to see a lot of Will Levis.
Oh, yeah. My God. Let's, there's 10 games left.
I know. I can't believe it. Oh, there's 10 games left. Let's go in with an open mind is really all I'm saying. Let's go in with an open mind. Oh. At, you know, this is what Mike Vrabel said to Marcus Mariota when he was struggling. I can't wait to see you play football today. That is what I'm throwing out there to Will Levis for tomorrow.
So with all this positivity, when the Titans lose, are you going to be claiming the ball didn't bounce your way?
Of course. No, there's no positivity.
The
like,
ball is not round.
Like I don't
the ball,
think...
Listen, the ball is not round. It's an oval egg shape.
That comment truly just ruined my day.
It's bad.
It ruined my day when bad. I saw that.
Like Rand Carthon, I'm not in the Rand Club. I'm not on the full-on fire Rand yet, but... Man, every time he gets in front of a mic, it's a disaster.
What's that thing The Rock says, Frazier? I'll let you say it.
Know your role and
shut your mouth.
Thank you, sir.
Again, I'm not trying to bring toxic positivity here. I think the ceiling for this team at this point is like 4-13. Like I don't think this team is winning more than 3 games the rest of the year. But I'm just saying, let's have an open mind with Will Levis coming off these 2 games off. Could it be the same disaster that we saw early on in the season? 100%. Maybe more likely than not it's going to be. But let's give the young man a chance to go out there and prove us wrong.
I hope so. I hope you're right, Jake. I really am, because I'm done with this Titans team. I'm just done with them. I mean, Connor knows about this toxic just pessimism that I have, and it.
That's why I was so excited for this segment.
I can't buy into the Titans anymore. My heart has been broken so many times. Week in and week out, year after year. We're living at the absolute bottom of the barrel with the Tennessee Titans, and I really wish they could fix it, but they can't fix it this year. I don't even know if they'll be able to fix it next year. Like this
No, I said it last week. The offseason this year set them back years.
I mean, yeah. Like, this offseason, if you just keep acquiring picks from trades that are like 5th, 6th round picks, and these diamonds in the rough don't pan out, You're at a loss for like another 3 to 4 years on top of that.
Yeah, going for it when you don't have the core to build around, like trading for L'Jarius Sneed and signing Calvin Ridley when you didn't really have any young pieces that were going to build with them, big mistake. It was a big mistake from Rand Carthon and them, but we'll see what they do from here.
As the great philosopher once said, heart's been broke so many times, I don't know what to believe.
I would just like to see this if Brian Callahan, I'm not saying if he loses his job this year, but if there is some changing in the guard, if it's at general manager or if it's at head coach, I would love to see Denard Wilson get a shot at being a head coach. I'm just saying.
If experience is an issue already, that might be.
I would rather a defensive head coach be running a football team than an offensive coach. I'm just.
Really?
Yes, I would.
Wow.
I am all in on.
I have a defensive coach right now in college football. It's not going too well for me.
To be fair, the offensive head coaches to be Titans head coaches, at least so far, have not been good. Ken Whisenhunt.
I'm tired of the offensive guru. They're just so great.
It's a fad.
Yeah.
It is a fad.
Quick question before we go to break. Speaking of Ken Whisenhunt, 2014, 2024, which team's worse?
Oh, boy. 2024 by far.
This one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys remember watching Zach Mettenberger attempt to play football?
Oh, I do. I do very well.
Zach Mettenberger's doing pretty good for himself right now.
You guys remember Antonio Andrews being the starting running back for that team?
Western Kentucky legend, apparently.
Here's the thing. That team was bad on paper. On paper, this team's supposed to be good.
I guess that's true. You have to, if you factor in expectations, maybe this team is more disappointing. I still think this team beats 2014 head-to-head.
Defensively, yes. On paper, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Offensively, no.
That team was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I remember that team. I had a Jake Locker jersey. It was my first ever jersey.
Yeah, I got...
Did Locker even...
I got bit on that as
Locker
well.
Locker was still on that team.
It didn't... The biting didn't go away. I have a Will Levis jersey, so... No,
yeah. Bless your heart, Connor.
Bless my heart.
Was Jake Locker still on that team?
I think it was his last
year. No. Was he gone? Because it was Mettenberger and Clipboard Jesus.
Oh, what's his name? Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah.
Was that
throwing the ball to Dexter Mc, no, Dexter McCluster. No,
that was a few years later.
No, McCluster was there. Yeah, he was, or no, he might have been cut at that point.
Deion Lewis, right?
No, that was pre-Deion Lewis.
Was Leon Justin Hunter
was 2018.
There? Justin Hunter?
Justin Hunter was there. Kendall, that was Kendall Wright's second season.
That was
the
Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
That was, it was Lawan's rookie year. I had this. So you had Lawan and Chance Warmack and awful team. Awful, awful team. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, shortened show today.
Bishop Sankey, there we go.
Well, Sankey was around, but he got hurt. So Antonio Andrews, the undrafted guy, he had that one big game, and everybody was like, oh, maybe, did we find a diamond in the rough with Antonio Andrews? No, we did not.
I just was thinking of running backs. I was like, is he on the team? Yes.
Yes, Bishop Sankey, the highest drafted running back in the 2014 draft.
Wow.
Him above Carlos Hyde. Tune in to 93.3 FM. Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders taking on UTEP on the road. Pregame at 1, kickoff at 2:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM. Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Again, shortened show today, so Newt's Notes moved up 15 minutes. It's coming up next as Connor Newt takes over the show here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We bring the boom! That's what we do!
I can't believe we're letting him do this again.
Yes!
Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We teased this earlier. It's time for Newt's Notes, where we're bringing back a fan favorite segment.
Fan favorite?
Ahead.
All right. Do you remember Boomer Doom? We did this with college football.
Absolutely.
Guess what starts on Monday?
College basketball.
College basketball! So, I have a list of 10 teams in the palm of my hand. We're going to go Boom or Doom.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll start with number one, the two-time defending national champions back-to-back, Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies. What are we thinking?
That's tough because, like, a boom would probably mean they have to at least make the Final Four again.
Yeah. They lost a lot.
I'll go a slight doom for UConn. Oh, there we go. Slight doom for UConn. Because just the expectations there. You win back-to-back national championships. I think they'll be a Sweet 16 team, but I don't know if they're going to make it back to the Final Four.
Yeah. Frazier?
Giving a big boom.
Big boom!
I think this is the team that goes, what, back-to-back?
To-back.
So three big booms.
Drake said.
So a boom. Boom.
Three we get it. We
big
get it. Three big booms.
Jimmy. Parker Kelly. Boom or doom, UConn Huskies.
I'm going to say boom, but they are not going to win the national championship this year.
Okay.
They lost too many. But Alex Caravan's returning, and that's a huge piece for them. They also got some guys out of the transfer portal.
It is.
But I just think three in a row is going to be too hard.
Yeah. I'm going to go doom. I could see them getting out at, like, the Elite Eight, to be honest with you. They lost a lot of talent, brought in some guys at the portal. To be honest with you, I think Dan Hurley's just a flavor of the month. I don't think he's the best coach in college basketball right now. Flavor of the month.
Would you be saying that if he took Kentucky's offer?
He was never going to take Kentucky's offer. But we move to number two. Speaking of Kentucky, Arkansas, boom or doom. Bring in John Calipari, the Arkansas Wildcats at this point. They have literally Kentucky's entire roster, plus Jonas Adu and John L. Davis from FAU. Boom or doom.
I'll go boom.
Stop.
I think Arkansas, I mean, they bring in a lot of talent. I think they're going to be better than Arkansas typically is. Better than they were under the importer.
The importer. Eric Muss.
Eric Musselman.
I'm going doom for the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't see it. I think this domino effect from Kentucky to Arkansas is going to continue to go down. Calipari, I think, has lost his touch.
Yeah. Parker?
I like this Arkansas team. However, I'm struggling with this. I don't know. I will say they'll be middle of the pack in the SEC.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go doom. I can't wait to watch them lose to Helen Keller School of the Blind and Deaf in the first round. Kansas, number three, boom or doom, Kansas. The return, Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah. I'll go slight boom
okay.
for Kansas. I think
very injured Kansas team, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, I think they'll make a run. I'm not going to put them in the national championship conversation, but I'll go slight boom for Kansas.
So if I say Sweet 16, is that a doom, would you say, for Kansas?
Yeah.
I'd say by Kansas standards, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right, I say Sweet 16 doom for me. That's where I have Kansas.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly where I would put them.
They're not that over-the-top team anymore.
They're always hurt. Here's the thing. And Hunter Dickinson is an electric player, but he is as whiny can get.
Yeah. I guess if we're saying Sweet 16 is a doom, they're a second weekend team. I don't think they're a Final Four team.
Yep. Parker?
I'm with Frazier on this one. Yeah. I think Sweet 16 is where they're going to get this year.
All right. We'll move on to Duke, the Blue Devils. Bring in the number one player in the 2024 class in Cooper Flagg. ESPN has him right now as the best player in college basketball. Yep. Has yet to play a game. So,
which is a little ridiculous.
A little bit. But where do we put John Shire and the Duke Blue Devils?
Boom!
Okay.
Duke is the double chunk chocolate cookies of this segment.
Wow.
Cooper Flagg, I think he lives up to the hype. I think Duke puts themselves, I mean, I'm not going to predict they win a national championship in November, but I think they're going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with that. It's another big boom going on with Duke. So I think John Shire's got it going on. I think he got the method to, Mike Krzyzewski's success there. He breathes that DNA, Duke DNA. I think that he's back on track with these guys.
Parker?
I'm going to give a boom to the Duke Blue Devils. However, I would like to see how Cooper Flagg plays first before we crown him the number one overall player
basketball. This is the Duke mentality. ESPN loves them some Duke Blue Devils basketball.
Right. Are we going to get Cooper Flagg cam this year like Zion?
Oh, my God. But I'm going to give them their fourth. Boom!
Boom!
Give me the Duke Blue Devils. Let's go across the state of North Carolina to the University of North Carolina, returning a lot of pieces as usual. They've got RJ Davis for his 10th year of eligibility, it feels like.
Yeah.
But where do we stand on Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels?
I'm going to go doom.
Ooh.
I'm not a big fan of Hubert Davis. North Carolina, I feel like they've, outside of the 1 year they made the run to the national championship game, like, it's kind of been a disappointment the last few years. I'm going to go doom for North Carolina.
Frazier?
And Armando Baycott's officially gone, right?
We think.
I think he found Indeed.com finally.
Okay.
McDonald hired him.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Maybe.
I'm doing it. She didn't do it.
Maybe never touched the human hand.
This is the year that maybe North Carolina actually has another Final Four appearance without Baycott this time. Maybe this is something they can build on for the future. So I'm going with a big boom.
Okay.
Parker. I'm going doom for the Tar Heels. No big man in the paint. You do have RJ Davis for his 11th year, but no big man. I don't think the Tar Heels will go as far as they want.
I'm going to go doom as well. They did get some pieces, including a local guy out of Belmont University, a shooter, I believe. I'm blanking on his name. But like you said,
Cade Tyson?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Cade Tyson. No big man presence, missing Armando Baycott. RJ Davis, I think, has a great year, but I am going to go doom for the Tar Heels. Here comes Jake Lyman's favorite. I know where he's going with this one. The Wahoos, Virginia.
Doom!
There you go.
Get a big doom. Tony Bennett's gone. I think they're going to be a disaster this year.
I do too. Frazier?
Give me the chicken bake, and I'm going to go doom, because it stinks. It stinks. Yeah,
it stinks.
It reeks of just nasty chicken.
Yeah. Parker, will they score more than 40 points a game this year?
Nope. Yeah. Doom.
I don't think they're going to score more than 40 points in a game this year.
Yeah. I'll go doom as well. But the main event, even though this is number 7, will we be blessed, baptized, shall I say, by the Pope? The Kentucky Wildcats, where are we? Boom or doom?
I hate to say it, I'm going doom here. I think it's going to take a couple years to transition Kentucky from being a one-and-done NBA factory into a college basketball program.
Okay.
So I'm going to go doom this year, but I think you'll have hope for the future.
Hope in Pope.
I'm going boom.
Yeah!
I honestly think Kentucky might rebound from this Calipari culture they had for the longest time. I think it's a breath of fresh air. Mark Pope comes in there, brings in a new idea. This could be something like lightning in the bottle with Kentucky this year.
Dang it, Frazier. They dangled the carrot right in front of you, and you took the bait, man. What are we doing?
Tastes delicious.
So if we think about it, Mark Pope had the same issues that Kentucky had last year. They were great on offense at BYU, but they struggled on the defensive end. He's bringing that exact same philosophy over to Kentucky. Until proven otherwise, I'm saying doom.
Ready?
Five big boobs. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, we get it.
We get it.
Based on what granted, they've played St. Matthews out in Nashville, but based on what I've seen, this team has everything they need. Incredible shooting, some great defense, big man presence. Jackson Robinson, I mean, let's talk about him out of BYU. Just an incredible, incredible shooter. He hit some stuff. I was like, wow, what a great shot. This team is going to be a special team. Granted, they are all old, but I like that. It's a veteran team.
It's the BYU way.
It's the BYU way. So, five big booms. Now it's your time to shine. Tennessee Volunteers, boom or doom?
I'm going doom on them, too. Mm. I think the Vols will be fine, but they're not going to the Elite Eight again. I think they relied on Dalton Knecht a lot last year, and I think they're going to realize that they don't have a guy like that this season.
Yeah. I'm on the doom train with the Tennessee Vols. I think, you know, having a lot of veterans last year, this year it turns into just kind of just gloom. Doom and gloom. Can I say that? Is that a part of the boom?
Doom and gloom.
Yeah, we're going to go doom and gloom. You just – nothing sells me on Tennessee this year. I think they're going to be like a Sweet 16, maybe the first round, maybe something like that, and around in that ballpark of a number.
I'd go round of 32 for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think they'll be like – 7, 8, 9 seed, maybe get to the Sweet 16, maybe not.
That's fair. We kick one Vol out, we replace him with another. Parker Kelly, what is it?
So here's the thing. I don't want to take a shot at Mr. Wallman. I will put my Vol bias aside for right now. Here's the thing. I watched the scrimmage last week versus Indiana, and I know it's just an exhibition, but what I saw was nobody really stepped up on offense when it came down to crunch time, and that has been the problem with the Vols team before Dalton Knecht. So here's what I'll say. This team has the capability to be Final Four, but every Tennessee Vols team has that capability. Until someone steps up on offense, I believe this team is Sweet 16 at best. But I need to see somebody step up, whether that be Chaz Lanier, Darlin Stone Dubar, Zakai Ziegler, whoever.
Yeah. I'm going to go doom. I feel like you lose a lot relying on Dalton Knecht. I feel like this is – if I had to put a label on this Tennessee team, this is the most Rick Barnes Tennessee team of all time. Just no star power. They're just kind of there. But they'll find a way to sneak into the...
Yeah, they'll be in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think their national title hopes, definitely that window is closed.
Yes.
100%.
All right, two more. We'll fly through these because I know we got a little bit of a time constraint. Alabama. Where do we stand on Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide?
They're not going to play any defense, but I'll go boom. they'll win every game like 102-97.
It's fair. I'm going to go doom. I have a gut feeling. The gut feeling's telling me doom. So I'm going doom with the chicken bake.
Major boom for Alabama.
Major
boom. I love everyone they got out of the transfer portal.
The Vols bias is gone.
Yes.
Can we have him every week?
Maybe.
Cliff Omo – I can't say his last name. Omomori?
Clifford from, the Big Red.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, from Rutgers. I've seen him play in person before. I believe that was probably the best transfer portal get for any team. And I think Alabama is a major boom. They will be better on the defensive end this year. I can promise that.
I'm going to go doom. On paper, this is the best team in college basketball. Deepest roster. Mark Sears returns, arguably the best point guard in the SEC. I don't think they live up to that hype. They don't play any defense. Like you said, they're going to win every game 119-112.
Yeah.
So I'll go doom. But our last one, to me, might be the most interesting. The Houston Cougars.
Ooh.
Boom or doom on the Houston Cougars?
I'll go doom, but I don't feel great about it. I just think Houston's kind of they shot above their weight class the last couple years. I think they're not going to be a 1 or 2 seed. They'll be 4 or 5 probably.
Yeah. Frazier?
I'm going boom.
Hey.
I'm going boom. Get a little optimism for the Houston Cougars. Goodness.
The Houston Cougars.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going boom with those guys. The double chunk chocolate cookie comes into play. This could be one of those type of situations where, like Jake's saying, be a 4 or 5 seed, but could run the table there.
Here's the thing. With Kelvin Sampson at the helm, Houston always has a chance. I really like LJ Cryer And they have their point guard back, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And he was a real, I'm blanking on his name.
Not Marcus Sasser.
No. He was the,
I don't know either.
He was a first team All-American.
Yeah.
I should know. I forgot his name. But he's great on the defensive end, I'm telling you. As long as Sampson's at the helm of this team, they always have a puncher's chance. I'm going Boom.
I'm with you. Boom. Always believe in Kelvin Sampson. Obviously, they lose Jamal Shedd, their best defensive player. But I think they add a few more pieces that get that team right where they want to be. LJ Cryer, of course, one of those returning guys that I feel like is an X factor for the Houston Cougars. But that's it. Boomer Doom. This was College Basketball Edition.
We love it.
Well done. What do we rate this segment on the Boom Meter?
I think it gets four big booms.
Four? What about five?
How about six?
I think boom! Boom!
All right, we get it.
We get it. It's a double chunk chocolate cookie. Thank you, Connor. That was really well done. And if you have any thoughts on out there, you can text us on our text line, 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll quickly go through today's college football slate and get you over to Vandy's coverage down there, the Commodores and the Tigers. Here on Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is Teddy's Tavern. Teddy's Tavern is your go-to spot for great food, cold drinks, and live music right in the heart of downtown. Get half off a $100 gift card now for Teddy's Tavern at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. And also be sure to tune into 94.9 The Fan today at 2:30 p.m. for our college football game of the week, Florida and Georgia, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, wrapping up our show here. We're leading you right into Vanderbilt's coverage down there at Auburn as the Commodores and Tigers go at it. Vanderbilt trying to become bowl eligible. Bowl eligible Commodores, if they can beat Auburn, who has not looked good this year. Should be a fun one down there. Excited to listen in today as they try and bounce back from that loss against Texas.
Yeah, honestly, this could be one of those situations where Vandy actually shows up to play football and just surprises the world once again. This could be a game where, if they win this game against Auburn, they could go and beat South Carolina later in the year because they have the LSU game and Tennessee, which are two tough games. Yeah. But you end up getting that sixth and then seventh win. You're obviously bowl eligible with six, but you're able to get that comfortability, get a solid bowl. This could be one of those games where Pavia actually shows up and says, hey, I'm going to play against Auburn. I'm going to dominate them like I always do, like I was at New Mexico State. We can do this thing.
Yeah, this is a big one for them. If they can get the monkey off their back and get to bowl eligible at 6-3, then you're playing with house money the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go out and play loose because you're going to a bowl game no matter what happens down the stretch. I think this is a big one. Connor and Parker want to give you a chance to talk Tennessee, Kentucky. How are you guys feeling heading into today's game?
I have no expectations.
Yeah, we should be asking Connor this question. How are you feeling?
I don't feel anything. My only expectation is, A, they are going to lose, and B, Mark Stoops will find someone else to blame. But, hey, if something goes wrong in red zone play calling, guess whose fault it's not?
Mark Stoops. It's never his fault, right?
He doesn't get involved never in his that. Fault. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is dark mode tonight at Neyland. Spooky Neyland. All of Knoxville will be there. I will be there. It is going to be an electric atmosphere, and I hope Kentucky comes with their head on straight or else. I know the offense hasn't been clicking for Nico and the rest of the offense, but – you know, at some point it's going to start clicking. They had some deep shots open versus Alabama, just weren't able to connect, but you know that's not going to last forever. So
I don't know. I got a sick feeling about this game.
Well, let's quickly go around the room and make some picks. Let's start with Tennessee, Kentucky. Nick Frazier.
I think Kentucky might actually
play. Wow. Oh, my God, I love you.
I got a sick feeling about this game. I really do.
I'm going Tennessee.
Go ahead.
You know who I'm picking.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Connor, I'm not just saying it just to say it. I actually have a sick feeling about
it. Well, I'm going to say it just to say it. Go Wildcats. This is my only opportunity to stick it to the Vols for the rest of the year. So,
all right.
Go Cats.
We're split.
We'll split on
this.
We're
split. 2-2. Vandy, Auburn.
I'm going Vandy. I think Vandy wins 21-10. This is a game where Pavia takes control of the ground.
I think Vandy gets the win, too. Gets their sixth win.
I'm with you. We're going bowling in West End.
Vandy going bowling. Parker, are doors. You on board?
Doors. Let's do it. I don't clean know how sweep. They're a road underdog, but doors.
I know. I was confused by that, too. And let's wrap things up with the big game coming up right – or actually, sorry, we get off the air an hour earlier. An hour after we get off the air, behind us on College Game Day. Penn State, Ohio State, who gets the win?
I'm taking Penn State. I think this is the year Penn State gets over the hump, and they're able to kind of move on and coast into the Big Ten Championship.
I'm going Ohio State. I think they win by double digits. I'm not on board with this Penn State team. I think I've said this before. This team is going to go 9-3 and just miss the playoff. That's the James Franklin way.
Yeah, I'm not picking James Franklin in a game this big. Ohio State, especially with Drew Aller, he's playing, but he's not 100%. I'm going Ohio State.
This is tough because my heart lies with the people of State College, and I really want to pick Penn State, but Ohio State just has too talented of a roster. I know they've struggled the past two games, but I think Ohio State's going to get it done today.
Okay. All right. 3-1 there. I think Frazier lone wolf in it.
I feel good about it.
We'll see how it goes.
I hope you're right. I hope Frazier's right.
Let's hope so.
Well, that'll do it for us here on Forest Company. Again, shortened show today. Vanderbilt football is coming up next. Commodores and Tigers. Vandy again looking for bowl eligibility. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. I'm Jake Lyman signing off here on this Saturday morning. We'll hand you off to Andrew Allegretta, Norman Jordan, Kevin Ingram, coming up next with Vanderbilt football here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See ya!